Turning to Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. We'll commence our reading at verse 30. I'm going to read here about one of the parables as told by the Lord Jesus. Perhaps one of the best known of all the parables or stories told by Christ about the one who was called the Good Samaritan. Verse 30. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he gave out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these 3 thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go, and do thou likewise. Amen. We'll end our reading at verse 37. We know the Lord will add his blessing to this, the public reading of the Lord's own holy and infallible word. And from the passage of Scripture we have just read, I would like to lay before you verse 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. We have before us a story or a parable. It was told by the Lord Jesus Christ in response to 2 questions. In fact, if you study the parables, you will find that most of them were told in response to questions which were asked of the Lord Jesus. On this occasion, the question came from a certain lawyer. Verse 25, we read, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? A lawyer was one who studied the law of Moses. So this man was quite familiar with the Scriptures. And he comes to the Lord Jesus with this inquiry. Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? That was a good question. There are many questions like this throughout the Scriptures. In fact, we read about the rich young ruler in Luke 18, verse 18, and he asked exactly the same thing. Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Pontius Pilate had a good question. Pontius Pilate said, what shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? The Philippian jailer had a good question, for he asked Paul and Silas, "What must I do to be saved?" And now these are all weighty questions. Weighty questions that demand a careful answer. May I just pause right now and ask, how many in this meeting this evening, and many in this gathering have already asked those questions? Have you ever asked the preacher? Have you ever asked a Christian friend, "Tell me, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" If you haven't, I believe it would be a good question for you to ask tonight, because you're in the right place to get the answer. You would need to ask about eternal life because at this moment in time you are facing eternal death. And you need to know about eternal life, and you would need to experience eternal life. That's a good question to ask. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Wonder, have you ever asked the question, what must I do to be saved? That's an out-of-fashion word now, isn't it? Don't hear too many people talking about being saved. But it's a good word because it's a Bible word. It's a scriptural term. We hear so many people today talking about, "Oh, what must I do to make a commitment to Christ?" Commitment's a very different thing from being saved. Have you ever asked the question, what must I do to be saved? If you're not saved, then that's a good question for you to ask. And I or Mr. Elliot tonight will only be too glad to give you the answer. If you're not saved and you don't have eternal life, then you don't know the Lord Jesus. And that would bring Pilate's question into focus. Surely that would have you then say tonight, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Tell me. What have you done with him in the past? You've attended meetings like this before. You received a special invitation. And you kindly accepted the invitation. And you heard the gospel and Christ was presented to you. Tell me, what did you do with Jesus then? I trust you accepted him. But if not, you'll have to ask that question tonight again. What shall I do with Jesus tonight? And I tell you this, before you leave this meeting, you will have made that decision. You will have answered the question yourself. What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? I pray. And I haven't been the only one who has prayed. But I pray tonight that what you do with Jesus Christ is that you embrace him as your Savior. From this hour, you start out for heaven, home, and glory. My, wouldn't it be a great night? If you receive Christ tonight as your Savior, you would never forget this night. Just as I have never forgotten and never will, I'll remember it for all eternity. The 5th of May, 1969. Tandra Gee, Free Presbyterian Church, in a little prayer room at the back of the wooden building at about 9:30 on a Monday evening. This preacher was born again. Transformed from darkness to light. In an instant, changed from being a child of the devil to being a child of God. You can experience that this evening. Now, this man asked this question, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Look at that verse 25 again, where we read, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him. He stood up and tempted him. He really wasn't interested in the answer. He stood up, and really what he was doing, he was standing up against Christ. Oh, this lawyer thought he had all the answers, and he was tempting Christ. He was trying to catch him out. Poor fool that he was. But he thought he had all the answers. You know, there are boys like that today, and they think they've all the answers. Oh, they don't need the preacher to preach to them. They don't need the preacher to speak to them. They've got all the answers. Don't talk to me about being saved. Don't talk to me about being a sinner. Don't talk to me about heaven. Don't talk to me about hell. I have my own ideas, and you're not going to change them. They've got all the answers. Like this lawyer, they're not really interested in the truth. If you're playing that game, you're playing a dangerous game. That is, standing up against Christ, tempting the Lord God. The Lord Jesus said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Children of Israel tempted him. And he cut them off, left their carcasses to rot in the wilderness. I tell you, my friend, you tempt the Lord. You stand up against God. And you have no hope of winning. Not at all. You'd be far better bowing the knee at Calvary. Saying, Lord Jesus, I yield. Save me now. Then this man asked another question. The Lord Jesus said to him, thou shalt love, verse 27, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he willing to justify himself. See, he's got all the answers. Not willing to accept the Lord's word. Not willing just to take God at his word. Willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? There's his second question. And in response to that question, the Lord Jesus tells a story. Tells the story about the Good Samaritan. Once again, when you look at the parables of Christ, the majority of them really are about him. That is Christ himself. Each of the parables draws the attention of the hearer to the Lord Jesus, causes them to focus on Christ. And as we look at this parable tonight, I want us to focus on Jesus Christ. Never mind the preacher, focus on Christ. Because I can't do a thing for you. But Jesus Christ can do everything. Who is my neighbor? One is first of all to consider the Samaritan and his contact. How he came in contact with this man in the story. It's interesting that in the New Testament there are three words for neighbor. A In Luke 1, verse 58, we read about Elizabeth's neighbors and cousins, how they heard that the Lord had showed her great mercy. Her neighbors. That word there means one dwelling round about. That is those, just as we would understand the neighbor, person next door. And then in Luke 15, verse 6, we are told about the shepherd who, when he found the sheep that was lost, calleth together his friends and neighbors. The word there for neighbor means fellow countrymen. But the word for neighbor here in this parable means one who is near, one who is close, or a close friend. In other words, this lawyer was saying to the Lord Jesus, and who is my neighbor or who is my friend? And Christ, in telling the story, was drawing attention to himself. And Jesus Christ was saying, I am your neighbor. I will be your friend. The message that Christ preached that day is the same message tonight that we have. Christ, my sinner friend, will be your friend. You look there, regarding this story about this man, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. There's the road that this man was walking. He went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Of course, all roads lead away from Jerusalem. They're going down. You cannot go to Jerusalem and find a road going up. All roads go down. And this road between Jerusalem and Jericho was no exception. It was going down. It's rather like the road of life. That road in life goes down also. It goes the same direction. It goes downward. It is a road that is broad. It is a road that is wide. And there are many traveling that road tonight. It is a road that leads down into sin, but it doesn't end there. It is a road that leads men and women down into the grave, but it doesn't end there. It is a road that leads down into the bottomless pit and to the lake of fire, but it still doesn't end there. It's a bottomless pit. It cannot be fathomed. And the soul that travels that road and eventually drops into that bottomless pit will continue to drop and drop and fall for all eternity. You're on that road tonight. It was while this man was traveling that downward road that he met this Samaritan. And I pray tonight that as you travel the downward road, that you meet Christ, the great Samaritan. He's the only one can help you. Indeed, the Jews said that he was a Samaritan. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan? Christ is the original, if you like, a good Samaritan. Came to help, and he came to help sinners like you. Something else about that road from Jerusalem to Jericho was a downward road. It was a dangerous road. We know that from the story. Remember reading about Andrew A. Bonner, and he and a number of his friends went over to Palestine and visited Jerusalem, walked that road. And he records in one of his journals that he and some of his friends were set upon, even in his day. Dangerous road, that road from Jerusalem to Jericho. It's notorious. Never know what's around the next corner. Never know what is lurking behind that boulder at the side of the road. On this occasion, thieves were waiting. You know, my friend, the road of life is notorious. It's a notoriously dangerous road. You never know what's around the next corner. Not right? You know not what is on the morrow. You don't know what waits you tomorrow or next week. It's a notoriously dangerous road, the road of life. That's why the Scriptures tell us, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And you know, you think of this poor soul traveling down this road from Jerusalem to Jericho. He was traveling that road all alone. When he faced these thieves, and when they overcame him and robbed him, left him half dead, he faced them alone. And I fear tonight in this meeting, there are those who are traveling down this road of life, this notoriously dangerous road. And they must face the tragedies of life and the troubles of life and the trials of life. And they must do it alone because they don't know the Savior. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it. We've all had tragedies and had to face difficulties and trials. But my, when you know Christ, oh, what a difference. You can take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. You know, of course, the story of Joseph Scriven, the hymn writer who left Banbridge and went to live in Port Hope. After he suffered a terrible tragedy, his bride-to-be on the eve of their wedding was tragically killed. He went to Canada to comfort his mother, whom he left at home. He sat down and wrote her a poem, which was later put to music. What a friend we have in Jesus. He was able to tell his mother about his friend. What a friend! He could say, I have in Jesus. And I wanted to tell you tonight, ever since that night, way back in 69, I can say also, what a friend I have in Jesus. He's the best friend I have. We've been through many a dark night together, gone down into many a deep valley together. We wept together. We prayed together. We cried together. And I don't know how you can face the troubles of life without him. I think you should come to know him now, tonight. Do you not think that would be a good idea? You would come and receive Christ this evening. As you travel down this road of life. Look at the robbery. A robbery took place. And we're told in that verse 30, and Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, and stripped him of his raiment and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. There were those who were lying in wait, ready to take advantage of him. They set upon him. They took everything from him. Every possession he had. Everything he regarded as valuable on his person. He took it all. Almost took his life as well. Really appreciated our sister singing tonight. was thinking that of that song that she sang there about praying for her children. And how the devil is waiting to steal away our children. You know, the devil leads an army of thieving, robbing demons. And they're all along the road of life. And you know, the devil and his demons is out to strip a man. And he's out to take everything he counts as valuable from him. And there are many in this meeting tonight, and he has already taken your children. He'll take your sense of decency. He'll strip a man of his moral values. But his biggest prize that he's after is your soul. Because the soul of a man is worth more than all that is in this world and 10,000 worlds. And I might as well tell you tonight, the devil is after your soul. He'll strip you of everything he has, but he's after your soul. Do you not think it's time you gave that soul to Jesus Christ for safekeeping? You give your heart, you give your soul to Christ. And that soul will never be lost. Christ will keep your soul forever. And the robbing, thieving, lying, murderer of a devil will not be able to lay a finger on it. You need Christ. And what's more, you need him right now. He may steal away your soul tomorrow. He may steal away your soul tonight. For if you die in your sin, your soul is lost. And where will it go? Down, 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 ever downward. Into that place the Savior said was prepared for the devil and his angels. You need Christ. My friend, you need Christ. Look at this man's ruin. In that verse 30 again, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. There's his ruin. First of all, he fell, we're told, among thieves. How much he needed the Good Samaritan's help. He was a fallen man. And you know there are many tonight, yea, we've all fallen. Maybe there's some tonight, you've fallen into some great sin. You don't know how to get out of it. You've fallen into some terrible vice and you don't know how to break the chains. And you've fallen perhaps a great distance because as a child you went to Sabbath school. You learned Bible verses. You learned the catechism. You maybe have a Bible sitting at home now, and if you were to open the front cover, there it says, presented as a first prize. That's a long time ago, isn't it? Now you've fallen into sin. It was when this man had fallen that the Samaritan appeared. You know the Good Samaritan is here tonight. And he'll lift you out of that fallen state. And he'll change your life like that. But you've not come to know him. Notice this man was faint as well. We're told, notice that they wounded him, leaving him half dead. He was so faint that he couldn't carry on. It was then, just then, that the Good Samaritan arrived. Oh my, how these words could be written about many in this world today. Many in this town tonight, many maybe in this meeting tonight. Because of your burden, because of your trouble, because of your trials, you're faint of heart, faint of mind, and you've often said to your husband or to your wife or to someone, I don't know how I'm going to keep going. I don't know how I'm going to carry on. And many a night you've wept yourself to sleep, afraid of the dawn, afraid of what tomorrow might bring, because you've said, I cannot go on. Oh, my friend, you can go on, all right, if you knew Christ tonight, if you were to come to know him and make him your Savior. Oh, you can go on, all right. For he'll carry you through. He'll carry you through. This poor soul in the parable was also friendless. For we are told there that they departed, leaving him half dead, and there wasn't another man with him. Didn't have a friend on that road to Jericho. Didn't have a companion to travel with him. A bit like the man that we read about in John 5. There in that John 5 and verses 6 and 7, the Lord Jesus went by the pool of Bethesda, and there he saw a man there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, see? It's like the Samaritan in the story. He saw the man. Saw his needs. The Lord Jesus sees the needs of men. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered, Sir, I have no man. When the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. My, it's a cruel world, isn't it? Every man for himself. There's the impotent man at the pool of Bethesda. He told the Lord, I have no man. In other words, I don't have a friend. I don't have a man whom I could call my friend, who would help me into the waters. Just like the man down that road to Jericho. When he was set upon by the thieves, he didn't have a friend. Do you know Christ? If you know the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, you know a friend. A friend, listen, who loveth at all times. A friend who sticketh closer than a brother. a friend of publicans and sinners. A friend that Solomon spoke about there in his glorious song. When the bride described Christ, then she finished by saying, "Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend." That's what I want to say tonight. Jesus Christ is my beloved. And he is my best friend. And here you are and you don't even know him. You look at that Samaritan and his compassion. He came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Notice that his only hope on that road down to Jericho, his only hope was the Good Samaritan. There had been other travelers who had gone that way, but they passed by on the other side. His only hope was the Good Samaritan. My friend, your only hope tonight is Christ. Only. I don't care what you have or what you haven't got, or who you are or who you may not be. But I say this evening, your only hope for eternity is the Lord Jesus Christ, and you need him tonight and you need him now. Jesus Christ. Your only hope. He is the one who really cares. He is the one who is moved by your plight. Your only hope is in him. Religion, as these two may other travelers represent, they represent religion. Religion will pass you by. Look at the heart of the Samaritan. He had a kind heart. He had a tender heart. He had a loving heart. He was touched by the plight of the needy. That's Jesus Christ. You've read, haven't you? You've read in the Gospels. When the Lord Jesus looked upon the multitudes, what does it say? It says he was moved. He was moved. With compassion. Right up to the very end, before Calvary, he's still preaching to the multitudes and he's still moved with compassion. There have been many horrific crimes committed in our beloved province over the years of the Troubles. And at the height of the Troubles, I remember thinking, you know, you turn the news on and there you learned of another bombing, another killing, another murder. And I think if we're honest, after 25, 30 odd years, you sort of got used to it. Christ never got used to seeing men and women in need. He was always moved with compassion. He sees your plight tonight, and his heart is touched. When the Good Samaritan saw this man, we're told that he came where he was. Verse 33. And where are you tonight? Yes, you're in a gospel meeting, but where are you in life? Down? Fed up? Tired? Burdened? Sorrowing? Heartbroken? Disappointed? You feel you can't go on? Christ will come right to where you are. Hallelujah. Isn't he a wonderful friend? He'll not pass you by on the other side. He'll come to right where you are. He has a caring heart. And he gave this man help. For in verse 34, and he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn. Mark the words, and took care of him. He's the Savior you need. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. By his presence, all divine. And I can say this with my hand on this book. No one will ever care for you like Jesus Christ. Will you not come to know him tonight? Will you not make him your Savior and your friend tonight? And notice this man and his charity. He was genuine. He didn't talk about helping this man. He helped him. The way you get people to say, oh, well, I'll do this for you, I'll do that for you. It's just all talk. Don't tell me about a man, about what he says about me. Tell me of that man and what he does for me. And I'll show you a real friend. Jesus Christ is a genuine friend. Jesus Christ is a generous friend. Jesus Christ is a gracious friend. Took this man, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, set him in his own beast, brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, I will come again and repay thee. Oh, that's generous, isn't it? You might say, well, he didn't need to do all of that, did he? No, I suppose he didn't. Did Jesus Christ need to come? Did Jesus Christ need to leave the land of angels and come into this world where he became the song of the drunkard? Did Jesus Christ need to take upon himself the form of a man and of a servant? Did Jesus Christ have to go to the cross? Did Jesus Christ have to suffer and bleed and die there in agony? Did Jesus Christ have to shed his blood? No, he didn't. He could have left us to our sin and would have been doomed and damned forever. But he came anyway. Look at what he did. Look at what he did. He gave us all. And when a man gives us all, he can give no more. I've told you something about him tonight. And you know, if you were to receive him this evening, do you know what you'd tell me? You would say, preacher, the half was never told me. You would find more in Jesus Christ than ever I could tell you. And I'm asking you, will you come to him this evening? Remember that road? It's notoriously dangerous. You don't know what awaits you tomorrow, tonight. And you don't have a friend to walk with you. You don't have a friend to go with you.
and you don't have a friend, and you come to die, if you make Christ tonight your Savior, you'll say, well, damn it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Make him your Savior tonight. Make him your neighbor. Make him your friend. Let's bow our heads in prayer.